you nor forsake you. So here's good news this morning. God doesn't come in and out. He doesn't walk away when you're bad, come back when you're good. He's really not offended at, as much offended at your badness probably as you are. That might be a revelation to some of you. Because here's the deal. When you're bad is when you need him the most. I mean, when your kids are the biggest stinkers is when they need you the most. Amen? That's when you need some structure. They need some direction. They need some, you know, they need some help. And so thank God he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. Hallelujah. Before we get started this morning, it's good to have Caleb and Brooke here this morning. And I was just going to have Caleb just come and just give you a few minutes of a testimony of what's going on in his ministry at Marshall University with Chi Alpha and what they're doing. He's one of our licensed ministers out of this church, as many of you know. And they're doing a ministry in Marshall in Huntington, West Virginia. So I just want to give him an update on what's happening there and what they're doing. For those of you who support him and things like that, you know what he's doing.
Yeah, so just a short little thing, because I'm usually very long-winded. That's something I've developed over the years. So maybe if I... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so I just want to share a little bit about what's going on. Recently, and this is just something, you know, that God's really just stirring just these last... I mean, really this year... And we had my boss, like the area director of Chi Alpha, come up last week and minister with us. And what he asked was, you know, what do you think God's doing in Chi Alpha? What do you want me to talk about? Blah, 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 blah. And I talked about some things that were like just church issues like that come up. But then I also talked about I felt like God was about to birth something in Marshall Chi Alpha. There was a spiritual awakening happening in Marshall Chi Alpha right now. And Brooke could attest to that. And just like, just the different things that are happening. And I really am excited about it. Because the only way that we are going to do what God has called us to do is we're filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. And it's exciting because I'm having conversations with people about it, of people wanting to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you know, that God is stirring stuff up, that people are having words from the Lord and sharing them and just different things like that. And so that's exciting. So I just want to read one scripture this morning. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." All right, that's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That Jesus doesn't call us to do something without giving us the means to do it. And I believe that he's given the means to do what I'm called to do on Marshall's campus. I believe that he has given the students at Marshall University the means to do what he has called them to do. Right, that there are students in there that are going to be PAs, there are students in there that are going to be teachers, there are students there that are going to be ministers, and that God is stirring something up and is going to pour out his Spirit on Marshall University in ways that it hasn't seen before. And so I'm stoked, I'm excited to see that and be a part of that, and I'm excited to update you guys on how that's going, but yeah, so... Yeah, and so just an encouragement to you that if you feel, you know, called to do something, you feel like God is stirring you to do something, that he will give you the means to do it. And to just ask more of his Spirit, because he will give more, right? So, yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Caleb, for sharing that. It's exciting. I mean, God is on every front. He's in every avenue, every opening. God is in our colleges. Amen. He's in our schools. He's in our communities. He's in our towns. He's in our homes. I mean, that's the most important thing, that he's in our homes. He's in our heart, and he's in our homes. And God is on the move. God is active. It's not necessarily that God's doing a new thing. It's new to us. are increasing. Always, God, it's not that. Those are the giftings. Those are the anointings. And that's available to every one of us. And, you know, trust in your heart and trust in, you know, when God begins to encourage your heart, even in the service, and you feel like God is leading you or speaking to you, you know, feel free to share that. He might be speaking to you about somebody or maybe just in general, and to share a word of knowledge or share a word of exhortation or, you know, a word of prophetic word or something that God is speaking to you. But Sunday, we took a few moments and we gave some testimonies. And actually, we end up taking a lot of few moments and giving testimonies. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it. And I felt very encouraged and lifted up when I left last Sunday. It was just great to hear the testimonies of people. And I think we sometimes don't take enough opportunity or enough moments to give God the praise or the glory that he deserves from us, and to give him the honor that he receives. You know, a lot of times God moves on our behalf, but we don't always have opportunity to tell our testimony or tell about it or share, you know. Everybody around. When you find out how somebody else got through that, I mean, it encourages you to know how you can get through that as well. And we walk through those seasons, and we realize that everybody walks through some of those things or difficult times in our life. And so I enjoyed those testimonies last week. Is there anybody this morning that wants to share anything, a testimony or anything this morning that you're thankful for in this season? You know, November is the month that we take a moment and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we're thankful for something that we want to share. And we got to volunteer.
I wasn't here last week, but I just want to piggyback on what I know Tam shared with our trip to Tennessee and the things that happened with my car and the craziness and whatever. You all can think Tam and I are crazy if you want to, but I tell you, that man that came out of the darkness that night was an angel, and God just provided. And after just everything that had happened that weekend, being away, the services, and what I felt like God just revealed himself in such a way to me and to the girls, just reminded me that God can step in and change whatever. In an instant, he can provide whatever it is that you need. Just in an instant. I mean, there was somebody there to help us. Whatever it was just, he just made himself real. And it was just a reminder that he is right there in an instant. And that he can change a situation. He can change whatever's going on in your life in an instant. And I'm just thankful.
Anybody else want to share anything this morning?
So as most of you know, I've had a couple accidents over the past couple years. And that has become my testimony. When people talk about my truck accident, and they look at the truck and they're like, man, those Chevys are tough. No, I'm here because of God's grace. And then to be hit on a motorcycle, and every time we sing the song and it says, he'll leave the 99 and come looking for you. I was laying in a ditch at 11:30 at night on River Road. Not a lot of people travel that road at that time of night. Two young men from my mom's church came by. You know, and I was telling the young man with his father, I said, you know, and my accidents were different because my first accident, I passed out from shock. My second accident, the whole time I was in that ditch, I was praying to God, praying for his mercy. And I kept saying, Jesus, help me. And those young men stopped. And as the boy's dad told him, he says, you're not Jesus. So, you know, just because he was hollering for Jesus doesn't mean you're Jesus. But I'm so thankful for that. But there was a bad accident 3 weeks ago. Down in Hagerstown, where a dump truck hit a car that killed, then the car hit two motorcycles, and there's three deaths. That dump truck was one of my drivers from my company. Through that and my accidents, I've been able to witness to the owners of my company because he's sitting with me and he's like, you know, what do we do now? You know, do we downsize? Do we have more training? I just don't know where to go. Light bulb comes on. You take it to Jesus. You lay it at his feet. And it was a chance for me to witness to my boss. And we just need to make sure that even though we think those are awkward moments, we need to listen. Because he looked at me and he says, you know, you're right. And for my boss to say that was you. Really huge. So we just need to make sure that we're listening to God's word, and we need to understand that, you know, as people told me, I look at the accident so much different than what most people would, I feel. It's because I've God in my heart. Because I don't look at how unlucky I was, God's grace. I don't look at how lucky I am that I'm still here, God's grace. God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. He is so great if we allow him to be.
Anybody else want to share this morning?
I was talking with someone the other day who's going through some things and struggling, and she was talking about her grandmother was a Catholic and she had her grandmother's rosary beads. And she said, you know, I just pulled those out as like a reminder of like her faith and just to give me something. And I said, yeah, I said, we have a couple of my grandfather's messages on podcast. I said, and sometimes I just pull those out to listen to his voice. And so I turned it on and let her listen to it. And she started crying, and she said, from everything you've ever told me about him, she was like, in hearing his voice, she said, you can just feel God coming out of that. And she was like, what an amazing legacy, and thank you for sharing that with me, because that touches me, and that gives me hope. And how awesome is it that his legacy is still coming through us to touch other people, and that we never know, you know, what we're saying and what we're doing, that God is just going to provide an opportunity for someone to feel his presence, and that you can share something that's not even your words, and it touches somebody, and from the grave, you know, he's still changing hearts and changing lives. And I'm just really thankful that we have that ability to utilize what's around us as tools to continue to spread God's faith, that we can utilize technology, that we can utilize any and every situation to spread God's word. And so I'm just really thankful for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else? All right. Well, if you think of something, raise your hand. I'll get you. How about that? All right. Well, I'm going to go to a scripture this morning out of Philippians 4. I just kind of woke up and the Lord kind of just dropped this. It wasn't the scripture I had did last night, but it was the one he dropped in my heart this morning. So I'm going to go to Philippians 4, 1 through 23 in the Message Bible. And I'm going to share out of that a little bit this morning. But I too am thankful. I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for what God is doing in our life, in our family, our children, the blessings he's bestowed on us. I'm thankful, you know, we're thankful for the good times and the bad times. Amen. You don't enjoy the bad times when you're in them, but you learn and you grow. And they're all part of the tapestry of who you are. And God creates that tapestry out of your life, and he's weaving something beautiful out of all of us. And so I'm so thankful for that. But in Philippians 4, I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible because I just like how he says it in there. And it says, "My dear, dear friends, I love you so much. I do want the very best for you. You make me feel such joy, fill me with such pride. Don't waver, stay on track, steady in God." We could stop there probably and preach, and that would be enough to preach to us today. Amen. "I urge Yodia and Syntyche to iron out their differences and make up. God doesn't want his children holding grudges. And oh yes, Sigus, since you're right there to help them work things out, do your best with them. These women worked for the message hand in hand with Clement and me, and with the other veterans, worked as hard as any of us. Remember, their names are also in the Book of Life. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him." Isn't that good? Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. "Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them to see that the master's about to arrive. He could show up at any minute." You know, if we ever learn to work as a team, to work alongside each other and to realize we're not working against each other, we're all working together. We're all in the same team. It doesn't matter what the name is above the door. It doesn't matter what denomination you're from. It doesn't matter whose family you're from or whatever. How many know we're all on the same team for one mindset, one purpose, and that's to help one another? Don't fret or worry. Let me read that again. Don't fret or worry. Do I need to read it one more time? Don't fret or worry. Instead, what? Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. The scripture says, casting all of your care on him, for he cares for you. When prayer replaces worry. You know, and I've had people over the years say, "Well, I don't really know how to pray. I just talk to God." Well, then you know how to pray. God is not asking for the these and the thous and oh, Holy Father and all of those kind of things. He just wants communication. And it truly is that simple. And guess what? He understands your language. He understands your lingo. He understands your heart more than he even understands your words. How many know our words don't always match our heart? And sometimes it's hard to put into words what our heart is saying. But aren't you thankful that he can hear your heart even louder than he can hear your words? Before you know it,
a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Philippians in King James says, so think on these things. These things, whatever is good, whatever is profitable, whatever is this, words at a different, but how many know that's a mode of putting your mind in a state of focusing in on Him instead of focusing on your worries or on your problems? How many know you have to make a conscious effort of that sometimes? It's like changing the station, right? There's things that's on my TV that I don't like, it doesn't interest me, I change the station. That's what that on and off button's for. And now you don't even have to get out of your chair to do it, right? You can do it right from your recliner. You used to have to get up and turn off the TV. But he said, put our focus on those things. Take your mind out of the realm of the frustration, the worry, the concern, the questions, and put your focus over on to God through prayer. God, I don't understand everything. I don't know why things happen. I don't know what my next step is. I don't know why this goes like this, but I do trust you. You know, it's what I shared this morning about out of the song. When I think about that song and it says the waves and winds still know your name, there's something that jumps up inside of me and said, oh yeah, right. I remember. I remember the God of the waves and the winds, the God who stills the storms, and they know your name. Hallelujah. That's where my focus has to be. That's what's so powerful about praise and worship, because regardless of the mindset you came in through this morning, when you start to look at the words of the song and you start to join in praise and worship, how many know it changes your focus? It changes the mindset you came in with if you let it. If you allow yourself to focus on just what we said, those things that are authentic, those things that are uplifting, those things that are profitable. How many know worry never changed anything except your blood pressure? That's about the biggest thing it'll change, is it'll change your blood pressure. It'll change the atmosphere that you're in. And is it easy to stop worrying? It's not. But how many know he said, let our prayers replace our worry and our fret. That every time we start to get in that place, and you know, this is kind of a season of worry and fretting over a lot of things. Amen. What you should do, what you shouldn't do, how much you should do, family times and involvement, engagements and things like that. How many know our focus, when we change our focus and our focus becomes on Him and we let Him and prayer replace those things that we worry. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard, saw, and realized. Do that. And God, who makes everything work together, will work for you into His most excellent harmonies. I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of need anything personally. I've learned, and this is the scripture that the Lord gave me, I've learned by now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. Yeah. I'm just as happy with little as with much. With much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Paul said, I have learned how to be abased and I've learned how to abound. But in all of those things, I've learned to focus on Him. I'm just as happy with little as with much. With much as with little, I found the recipe for being happy. Whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have,
wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I don't mean that your help didn't mean a lot to me. It did. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. You Philippians well know, and you can be sure I'll never forget it, that when I first left Macedonia province, venturing out with a message, not one church helped out in the give and take of this work except you. You were the only one. Even while I was in Thessalonica, you helped out, and not only once, but twice. Not that I'm looking for handouts, but I do want you to experience the blessing that issues from generosity. He said, I'm not looking for handouts, but I want you to experience the blessings of generosity. To learn what it feels like to be more blessed to give than to receive. And I share that scripture a lot, especially probably this time of year. But I remember as a kid growing up thinking, I don't understand that scripture. It's more blessed to give than to receive, because everybody knows it's more fun to get presents than to give presents, right? Until I grew up and became a mom, became a grandma or a nana. And then when God gave me the revelation that, Lisa, you are in the position to be able to give and not in the position to have to receive. There's nothing wrong with being in that position. And I've been in the position of having to receive and the one to be on the other side of generosity from somewhere. But oh, when God brings it back around and you can be blessed to be the giver and not just the taker, you find out that there really is a pearl in the oyster, that it is truly more blessed. It is more of a blessing to be in the position to be a giver than it is to receive. And my kids will tell you, they'll say, Mom, what do you want for Christmas? I said, you, family, a good meal, warm home. Because we're so blessed, we have what we need. We find that our values change, and to what is important is different. And we find what a blessing it is. See, I'm a firm believer that God places in the hands of givers the abundance of the kingdom. You know, there's a parable about when he gives his abundance to the servants, but the one servant takes it and hides it, does nothing with it. And he comes back and he takes from that slothful servant and he gives it to the other. So now that servant has nothing. And it seems unfair, but I believe that God has a concept that said, I'm going to put my abundance and my blessings in hands of givers who know how to sow seeds in the kingdom. They know how to be dispensers of my glory. They know how to be dispensers of my finance. They know how to be my hands extended in the earth. They know what it is to be, an advocate for those who are downtrodden. And I'm a big advocate of giving a hand up, not a handout. Amen. You can give a man a fish or you can teach him to fish. And I believe God wants us to give a hand up to those who struggle or those who are in need. But what a blessing it is to be in a position to be able to give and to minister to a need that we see out of the abundance of what God has given us. And you know, we shared last week at the end of the service, you know, the woman with the widow's oil, and I don't want to re-preach that, but how many know when she gave out of her need, God filled her back in the abundance? And we sometimes think we don't have the quality to give that some might give. Whether it be, and I'm not just talking money or gifts. I'm talking about in our giving of our time, lending an ear, you know, sitting and sharing the gospel with somebody. You might think you only have just a little bit, but all God's asking for is what you have, the little bit that you have. And he takes that and he multiplies that to the multitude. And it's amazing how the ripples go out of that when we're obedient to that. So, you know, he's saying, it's not that I want you, Paul's telling me here, he said, I want to tell you what it did when you ministered to me. Not that I was in need And not that I'm in respect of want, King James says. But he said, I love that, when you give out of your generosity, the blessings even that God pours back to you and the blessing that you receive out of giving. And the blessing you receive out of giving is not that just, oh, I'm going to give my percent and God's going to give me back a greater abundance of that. The blessing you get is the satisfaction and the joy in your heart that you receive from knowing that somebody's been blessed and that God has reached down and touched somebody through you. I now have it all and keep getting more. The gifts you sent with Epaphroditus were more than enough, like a sweet-smelling sacrifice roasting on the altar, filling the air with fragrance, pleasing God no end. You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need, his generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours from Jesus. Our God and Father abounds in glory that just pours out into eternity. Yes. Give our regards to every Christian you meet. Our friends here say hello. All the Christians here, especially the believers who work in the palace of Caesar, want to be remembered to you. Receive and experience the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, deep, deep within yourselves. Experiencing the grace of Jesus the Master deep in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. My title of my sermon last week was Thanks in the Giving. A spin on Thanksgiving. A thanks in the giving and having an attitude of gratitude. And that's what Paul is talking about in Philippians when he's talking about what our focus is, what our mindsets are. And, you know, keeping our mind focused on what's important, keeping our mind focused on what we're doing, and even in this season of giving thanks. I told you in class, it's kind of hard sometimes to tell the kids what it means to be thankful. Because to me, to be thankful means to be thankful to God, right? And so to tell them that they were thankful, and it was funny, it was cute, because we had kids in there that say they were thankful for Jesus. I said, amen, sister. Yes, we are. You know, and they're thankful for their dog and their cat, and they're thankful for their toys. And I had a little boy in my class last year, and I remember him saying he was sick, and he said, oh, well, if I die, at least there'll be Legos in heaven. That's what he told me. He just said it just like that, too. He said, oh, well, if I die, at least there's Legos in heaven. So I said, well, thank you, Jesus, for Legos. In heaven, you know, you all thought the pearly gates were made out of gold. They're really made out of Legos. So, you know, that was his focus. But being able to say, you know, being thankful, you know, celebrate the season because the pilgrims came over looking for freedom of worship. Yes. To a place where they felt free to worship how they wanted to. And every one of you in here this morning got to pick where you went to church. Nobody dictated it to you. Nobody told you where to go. Nobody kept you from going. And we need to celebrate and give thanks for that, because people gave their lives to get here so that we could be in this place and in this position. And sometimes we take for granted those things that have been provided for us. And thankfulness makes you pause long enough and count your blessings. And as I've said before, rather than counting sheep, count your blessings. And you'll find out, may sometimes that helps the insomnia go, because your focus starts to think on what's good, what's profitable, and what is uplifting, what is authentic, what is real. And when your focus is on that, it's not on the things that are worrying and keeping you awake at night. Amen. And so talking to them about being thankful, what it means to be thankful and to give thanks to God. But I want to read 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 15, just talking about in our thankfulness, in our giving, in our being his hand extended in this season, in our communities, in our homes, in our churches, in our job sites, whatever it is. In 2 Corinthians 9 in the Message Bible, verse 1, it says, if I wrote any more on this relief offering for the poor Christians, I'd be repeating myself. I know you're on board and ready to go. I've been bragging about you all in Macedonia through Macedonia province, telling them Acacia province has been ready to go on this since last year. Your enthusiasm by now has spread to most of them. Now I'm sending the brothers to make sure you're ready, as I said you would be, so my bragging won't turn out to be just so much hot air. If some Macedonians and I happened to drop in on you and found you weren't prepared, we'd all be pretty red-faced, you and us, for acting so sure of ourselves. So to make sure there will be no slip-up, I've recruited these brothers as an advance team to get you and your promised offering all ready before I get there. I want you to have all the time you need to make this offering in your own way. I don't want anything forced or hurried at the last minute. Remember, a stingy planner gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over. Make up your own mind what you will give that will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, given to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving way never runs out, never wears out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-form lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgivings to God. This relief offering is a prod to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plan, to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in our lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift, His gift. No language can praise it enough. Given our thanks in the giving. You know, the story that Jesus, in closing, we see the story where Jesus speaks to the 10 lepers. And he heals the 10 lepers. You remember the story. And he says, now go show yourself to the priest. And it says, and as they were on their way, one of them realized that they had been healed and came back and gave thanks to God for the healing that he had received. And Jesus' response to the one is, where are the nine that received the same healing? And so as we go into this season, let's just remember how blessed we are, how thankful we are, what God has, his abundance and what he has done for us. And let's not be the nine that don't come back to give thanks, but be the one that comes back and says, thank you, God. Thank you for healing. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for touching me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for working in my family. Thank you for meeting my needs. Thank you, Lord, that you have me in the palm of your hand. Amen. Amen. Let's stand this morning. As Beth comes to sing a song, let's just take a few minutes. Take however long you want. Don't have to be a few minutes, but let's just take some a moment as the children are coming and just focus on those things. Let's just give God the thanks and the praise that he needs this morning. If you have a special need this morning, if you need special prayer, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, you've never made that commitment, the altar's open. We'd love to pray with you. Whatever it is this morning that is your focus, let's just submit it to God and let him meet the need in Jesus' name.